to you. Pray, God, that you've had a tremendous day, and pray, God, that you are $15 into sacrifice. Amen. We need your sacrifice. Merciful God, our loving Father, we thank you tonight, and Lord, these who have been with us from the beginning of our prayer time together, prayers have been offered up, songs, quiet meditations, a few amens, a few hallelujahs, many thank you, Jesus. And so many ways, Lord, we have done what you've asked us to do, and that is simply in all our ways acknowledge you. God, we don't all do it the same, but we do it because you're the same God to all of us. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. That's what they taught us, and that's what we're trying to do. And God, we thank you tonight that we've got a reasonable portion of health and strength. We thank you, God, tonight that our voice goes beyond the walls of this church, that there are media outlets and opportunities where others can join with us in this hour. We're very grateful, Lord, that you've given us the assignment to tell the dying world about the risen Christ. And God, we thank you tonight that you saw more in us than sometimes, Lord, we even saw in ourselves. We thank you, God, that you didn't quickly judge us when we made our mistake. But Lord, you looked beyond our faults and you met our every need. We thank you, God, tonight that you gave us a reprieve, for we were guilty as all outdoors, rightly deserving death. But Lord, you gave us a reprieve. But more than anything, Lord, you gave us a redeemer. You gave us your darling son, Jesus, who died for us. Lord, we had never met him. We didn't know anything about him. But before we even got here, the price was paid. And we just honor your name tonight. And God, we pray that as we often do, that you would open our eyes and our ears. And God, make our hearts ready to receive what you are saying to the church. God, let no other voice be higher than yours. Let no other presence be more compelling. We need you tonight. And God, we've come tonight just about as empty as we could be, that you might fill us. And God, when you have filled us, remind us not to be selfish, sophomoric, or secluded, but go out and let it be known that I've been with the Lord. And because I've been with the Lord, he told me to tell you next time you come. And God, we can do it all together. For when we are all together on one accord, what a magnificent time it's going to be. And God, we thank you. For we know, Lord, that we can't participate in heaven if we don't prepare ourselves on earth. So God, we just bless you this evening. For it is good for us to be here. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I thank God for you. I love you. And certainly pray that you're ready to learn something new so you can do something new and greater. We're talking about discipline. We're just about into the fourth prong, which is going to be learning to perform our duties. But again, we've got to learn this. And this is a lesson. You can put this in your early notes. There is no discipleship without discipline. Man, if you really intend to be a disciple, you have to undertake and understand discipline. You have to. And I say that because there are a lot of people in churches all over the land, all over the world, who want to claim discipleship, but don't demonstrate discipline. You know, churches get out of control, meetings get out of control, choirs get to fussing and fighting, and ushers throw their uniform down and all that kind of stuff. That's a lack of discipline. We are all on assignment under the authority requiring proper alignment with the Lord. And he said, I'm going to give you shepherds and I'm going to give you those things that are necessary so that you might live your life in accordance with the word of God. Let me tell you something. There are too many people who can almost verbatim quote you church constitution and bylaw, but don't know nothing about the word of God. And every time something happens, they want to grab the bylaw and the constitution. No, grab the Bible. And before we do any persecution, let's pray. You be careful of anybody who the first thing out their mouth is persecution and not prayer. Because if we don't pray, we ain't got no right to persecute. And if we pray, we won't persecute. Amen. So discipline is a critical a step in discipleship. And as we said last week from the Hebrew letter, the key to this is to always keep our eyes on the Lord. And if you keep your eye on the Lord, you're going to show up be better, not only for yourself, but for everybody else as well. Amen. All right. So remember that note. Now, there is no discipleship without discipline. The second part of that note is this, that discipline must always be on the menu of the righteous. Always. Because we want God to correct our bad behaviors. We want our leaders, our pastors and deacons and such to correct our bad behaviors. And we're going to show you a little bit tonight why that's biblical. If you find a brother or sister in a fault, you got to help them. Amen. And how many know we all got a fault? Amen. I would ask you to high five somebody, but you might get carried away. Everybody's got something they do wrong. Amen. In fact, we can always say to somebody that you ain't right all the time. Now, we want to be right some of the time. Don't want to be wrong all the time, but we ain't right all the time. Amen. And your opinions are not always the right opinion. Your judgments or your perception. How many ever had a poor perception? You thought something or thought you heard something, thought you saw something. And later on, you realize, oh, my God, I was wrong. It takes discipline to go admit that. That's why the Bible says, if you've got an ought with somebody, let me tell you what's wrong with that scripture. Well, not wrong with that scripture, but let me tell you what's the problem with the interpretation of that scripture. People who read that scripture, or oftentimes people who want to use that scripture, are using it from the perspective that I'm right. So if he did me wrong, no, you need to look at that thing like it ought to be looked at. Because maybe you did say something wrong. Maybe you didn't intend to. Maybe you did give them a look that wasn't so savory. But if you have an ought, that doesn't mean you sit around going, oh, they're going to come to beg my pardon. No, sometimes you need to go beg pardon. That scripture is universal. It's not just for those who feel offended. It's as well for those who have offended. And oftentimes, how many of you, let me tell you something, let me help you. We're all adults, all the young people are going to their sections tonight. Sometimes people don't mean to offend you. You just so receptive to being offended. Stay with me now. Some of us are so on the edge that we're just waiting on somebody to push our button. Tell you what my pastor told me when I was young, and now that I'm old, I won't forget it. If folk can find your button so easy, maybe you need to hide some of them. If they can push your button so, maybe you need to hide some of your buttons. Maybe you need to start dressing in a way that they can't see your button. Because every time I turn around, she pushed my button. Maybe you need to hide some of your buttons. Another thing he said is that if folk can find them, you must have told them where they were. And you mind yourself, discipline is always necessary in the body of the believer. Now, understanding why this prong is so necessary, because it comes in the place of before we can go to work, we got to make sure we're ready to work. That's why the Bible says that we should certainly lay hands on nobody. Let me tell you something. You need to know that people around you in the body of Christ have discipline before you start saying, well, we're going to make you the president of the usher, or we're going to make you the president of the willing workers. We can't quickly just because somebody come in and say, well, on my job, I'm the what's and thus and thus and thus. And he said, oh, you're going to fit fine in the body of Christ. The devil is a liar. I'm a treasurer on my job. Well, we're going to make you over the treasurer. You might be a thief and a treasurer. Amen. We need to know if you've got discipline. We need to try the spirits by the spirits. We need to take our time and watch a little while. See, some people are quick to fly off the handle. You need to know that about people before we put them over our children or put them over our wives and our sons and our daughters. And before we know it, we got a major case of discipline out of order. So he said, no, we need to know discipline. And notice I said this, it's always on the menu of the righteous. Can I tell you that the righteous love discipline? You want
want somebody to grab your coattail. You want somebody to tell you, go sit yourself down and pray a while. You want somebody to say to you, you were wrong. And you owe that sister an apology. You were wrong. And maybe you should go in there and say to everybody, you know, I wasn't the only one wrong. No, because all of us wrong at some point or the other. But right now, you're sticking out like a sore thumb wrong. And discipline, because I'm righteous and I want to do it right. Well, I know I knocked something down. I want to do it right. Then I have to be able to recognize, to respond, to repent, and then to regroup. Y'all caught them four. Those good ones. You got to recognize it. Respond to it. Repent. God Almighty, we need to go back to the church where the word repent is not a cuss word. We need to repent. We need to tell God we're sorry. And as they said in the state of Florida, do it often and early. You got to understand. Let me tell you something. The reason the church is raggedy is because we have allowed it to be so. Repentance is the order of the day every day. Get up in the morning and say, Lord, I'm sorry. My grandmother, as she taught me, and I'm sure your grandmother taught you, we ask the Lord to forgive us for word, thought, and deed. Sometimes you just think foolish. Amen? Aren't you glad little bubbles don't appear before your head every time you think something? Aren't you glad that every little sneaky thing you did, folk don't know? Amen. And aren't you glad that they didn't record everything you said? So we need to say, Lord, I'm so sorry, because I was thinking something about sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, about my pastor, about my deacon, and Lord, I was wrong. Please, Lord, don't let that come out of my mouth. And please, Lord, don't let my mischievous hands do what they said they were going to do. See, when you read the Bible and you hear things like a man's steps are ordered by the Lord, that's whole life stuff. It ain't just your feet God concerned about. It's your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your hands. God wants everything to be under discipline. Amen. And so he said, now, please understand, that's the lesson. There is no discipleship without discipline. And I'm not just talking GBC life. I'm talking whole life. I don't care where you go. I've said it before and I'll say it again. If you leave this church, you're going to go somewhere better equipped than when you came here. And you'll probably discover when you get there, you're better equipped than they are. Because we don't play this thing here. Amen. I'm going to lose a whole lot of friends in the coming months, and I just don't really care about that anymore. Because the fact of the matter is, what are we going to be able to show God if we can't show him what he told us to make? Amen. You can't be creative and go, well, Lord, this is how we decide the church ought to be. That is not my church. Discipline. And discipleship is understanding authority. Proper alignment. Proper use of the anointing. And God will say, I'm well pleased. And again, it must be on the menu of the righteous, because it's the righteous that he's coming back for. None shall walk up there but the pure in heart. There's a highway of holiness. That's the righteous. I should have got more than three amens, unless you don't plan to be on that highway. Amen. And so it is. Let's go to 2 Timothy and look at what the Lord said. We're going to try to get a lot done tonight. 2 Timothy in chapter 4, if you will, please. I want to show you what's happening to an undisciplined community and why that undisciplined community is destroying the growth potential of the church. Pastor, what are you saying? Where do you think the church is coming from? The community. We're not going to be able to run over to Target or Walmart and say, listen, we want five disciples. Y'all got them inside. No, they're coming from right where we are now. And what you're seeing in society is what's ending up in our churches. And I said this before, and some people didn't like it when I said it. I don't care about none of that stuff they're doing out there in society and trying to bring it into our church. I don't want rappers. I don't want hip hoppers. I don't want dancers. I don't want step teams. Because all that is you letting us have our way on your terms. We want you on God's terms. Before you put any fish to use, you clean them up. I don't care what they step into, they still stepping. They're having their way. Let all the earth keep silent before him. We'll do ministry. We'll sing praises. I wish we'd have never closed the hymn book. Some of that stuff that we've gotten our ears tuned to is not sound gospel. I'm not talking gospel music. I'm talking about Bible gospel. Whole lot of them songs they sing, they don't even mention Jesus. They done got away from the cross. They done got away from heaven. They done got away from the anointing. They just making music on the top 100 charts. He should have never closed that hymn book. And the truth of the matter is, we have been conditioned to be undisciplined. Amen. That word decent and in order is almost an anomaly in the church now. We let people do anything they want to do to keep them. After you running folk off, they like to do. They're going to do it in his way. Amen. Let's look at what Paul tells Timothy to look out for. This is good teaching here. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Are you there? Start at verse 3. A time is coming when people will no longer listen to right teaching. They will follow their own desires and look for, watch this now, here the church hoppers come in. Look for teachers who will tell them whatever they want to hear. I'm leaving Brookville, y'all. I'm going over the thus and thus. Because you want to hear what they're saying because it doesn't make you live by discipline. You going over there because, see, the pastor over there, he liberal. He believe in letting the people. No. You just hopping because you don't want to be disciplined. It's right there in the Word of God. And see, this is what we're up against. Paul told Timothy that the time is coming. Can y'all do me a favor and look at your name and tell him, no, pastor, it's here. Church hoppers. People running from one place to the other because they don't, I just can't get down with him. I didn't ask you to get down with me. I asked you to grow up with me. He too hard. I just want to hear about prosperity. I want to hear about my, it's coming. I want to get ready. No, you need to sit down, shut up, and learn. Because when money cometh, and you ain't got no discipline, you ain't going to know what to do with it. And if you getting ready, what you going to do? Because we'll know the tree by the fruit that it bears. So if everybody getting ready, why we ain't seeing nothing? Huh? And so it's important. He said, listen, you better know that it's on us now. And we cannot be determined or identified as disciples and lack simple discipline. I mean, I ain't gonna hear man just like I am. He don't tell me what to do. You lack discipline. Your shepherd is a shepherd. Let me tell you something. No matter what society says, it will never change what God says. God has always said it for it to be this way, and it's gonna be that way. And any church that compromises on the word of God has already incurred its penalty. Because the Spirit of the Lord will not reside in a place that is ungodly. It's an Ichabod situation, and they brought it on themselves. When you close up the Bible, you close your life. And that doesn't make any sense to me. Notice what he goes further to say. They will reject the truth and follow strange myths. Don't y'all see what's happening to us? As I said some weeks ago, and I'm going to say it until such time that I can't say nothing else. I don't care what the Supreme Court says. If it's contrary to the Bible, it's foolish. There is no wisdom in two men marrying each other, two women marrying each other. There's no wisdom in having two mommies. No, sir, there is no wisdom in anything that's counter to this. And if the lawsuits are coming, let them come. That's why they got more lawyers in the phone book than they got doctors. It's right here. Somebody should have read it to the nine justices. Because it's right here. They reject the truth and follow strange. Just because it's comfortable, and I'll read it to you in a minute from the Corinthian letter. Paul told him, he said, there are going to be people who like one thing and you don't like it, but don't worry about it. Let them go on and do that, but don't you do it so that it becomes an offense to the work of God. I wish one of my sons would bring some joke home to him. Dad, me and Buckethead here is in love. By the time they hear the sound of the shotgun racket, they would be well down the driveway by then. But what they fail to realize is that my driveway goes down, it comes up, so all I got to do is level off. I will say in the name of Jesus before the last shot. No, I wouldn't do that. Here it is. He said, here's what he tells us. Here's where discipline comes in. Verse 5. But you should keep a clear mind in every situation. Watch what he says. Don't be afraid of suffering for the Lord. That's why I said if they're going to sue us or they're going to get mad at us, they're going to leave us. Huh? And I wish you heard me say bye. So you don't have to come back and ask me, did you say bye? I did say bye. Listen, Brookville, we suffer a little bit. We've had people leave here. And I understand that. And it has caused us to suffer a little bit. But we're not ashamed of suffering for the Lord. I love to have a packed house every Sunday. I love to have people, you know, bumping into each other in the parking lot. But I'm not going to just stand up here and tell you that you're going to get rich and that you can have anything you want and don't have no discipline. I'm not going to change our faith for foolishness just so we can fill up the house. Because can I tell you one thing? I do know that you'll get more in faith in God than you can ever have with faith in people. Because even we can have them running off the walls, and if they ain't tithers, it ain't going to do us no good. If they ain't going to learn, it ain't going to do us no good. So let's just go ahead and suffer this season of departure. Because the word gives us a clue. Be separate and come out from among them. Some folk need to go. Don't look at nobody right now. Don't nobody look at nobody. Listen, he says, watch this now. I love this. He says, work at bringing others to Christ. See, that's where we got to go to work at. That's discipline. To work is a discipline. Can I use you all as an example? How many of you have ever heard the alarm clock go off and had to wrestle with yourself about getting up out of that bed and going to your job? It takes a discipline. Because if you shuffle off, you can sit there and go, shang, I'm just not going. And you might pull that off one day, 2 days, but after a while, you ain't got to worry about calling them. They'll call you. It's a horrible thing to get a call saying, listen, don't come. We've already determined that you have to understand something. I would you understand. I'm not going to say you have to. I would that you understand something. This is the pastoral discipline to not say that. I have to say it right. I would that you understand something. There is no great achievement without great work. And what has hindered us is we don't want to work hard. We think people just going to fall in here. Can I tell you the only place you end up that requires not much work at all, if not any? The funeral parlor. You can die doing nothing. And they'll get you down there. You don't have to do nothing. They'll come get you eventually. But in this work that we're trying to be, notice what he said. He says, you've got to do what God called you to do. Notice what he says, brother deacons, ministers, trustees, complete the ministry. Oh, we start off with great fanfare and launch this ministry and launch that ministry. And before you know it, the launching was far greater than the activity itself to keep it afloat. He said, you complete. Can I tell you why that's important? Because all of us have an assignment. Notice what he says. He says, you complete the ministry that God has given you. Point at anybody and tell them, you are you. What Paul tells Timothy, he says to the whole church. There is nothing as, well, we just going to get a committee. See, we did that wrong in the church, too. We tried to find five or six willing workers and then let everybody else sit back waiting on the parade. Everybody's got an assignment. How do you know that, Pastor? Because the Bible says you will know the tree by the fruit that it bears. If there are fruitless trees, what happens to fruitless trees? They get cut down. The Bible said they're thrown into the fire. They're useless. So how are we going to just figure it's up to the pastor to grow the church? And everybody else is going to sit back. How we figure it's just the deacons who are supposed to go out and do, and everybody else is going to sit back. He tells the whole body of Christ from this letter, complete the ministry God has given you. Here's the problem. We reject what God has given us because we're so greedy for what the world has given us. We'll work three jobs and won't come and change a light bulb in the church. We'll get in the debt up to our elbows and then refuse to give God his tithe. We love the world stuff. God can't get nothing. And we wonder why our churches are falling down. And people are building great mansions of glory to themselves. As I said before, how can you expect God to work in your house when you won't work in his house? He says, complete the ministry God has given you. Don't sit back and plug up your ears so you don't hear ministry. Don't put your hands behind your back so you don't have to touch ministry. Don't put on slippers and slide like Cinderella so you don't have to walk in ministry. Everybody's got to do their part. And quit sitting around acting like you don't know what to do. How many of y'all have been left home and found stuff to do? Mama told you, don't go in here, don't go in there. But in a little while, you found a whole lot of stuff. You found stuff you weren't supposed to find. Why? Because you got busy. And then try to put it back like it was so they wouldn't know you'd been there. Too many, hear me well, too many lazy Christians. I said several weeks ago when we were talking about that wall, come on, man, everybody's got something to do. Everybody worked where it was a concern to them. You know, look at what we're doing and wonder why we're not doing more. Man, we should keep our church busy. All of this ministry opportunity around us, all of these areas of untapped resource, and we sit around and go, well, you know. He says, complete it. Complete the ministry. Because why? You're a disciple. You have a pending duty. Jesus says you're lights in the world. You're the laborers. You're the leaders. You've got everything I could ever give anybody. Who do you think I'm going to look to? That's why the Bible says judgment begins at the church. It's not going to begin on Capitol Hill or the Supreme Court. God's going to look at us and say, I gave y'all everything. I gave you all the power. I gave you all the purpose. I gave you all the positions. And you sit back and let them steal it out from under you, and you didn't even fight for it. You let them take prayer. You let them give you gay marriage. You let them do this to your children, and you sit back going, well, I don't want to, you know. Where's your warrior spirit? That old Tarkington commercial used to say, I'd rather fight than switch. Where are the warriors in the church anymore? Huh? He said, you got to complete the ministry. You have an assignment. Again, discipline comes before duty. So by the time we get to duty, I pray you'll understand me better. But he tells them, he said, look, you be careful of them church hoppers, people who want to hear what they want to hear and don't want to go to, you know, people are looking for the easy way. It ain't new. They've always looked for the easy way. That's what happened between Cain and Abel. And understand something. When, as soon as God looked at Cain, he said, what's that dejected look on your face? He knew. People running around, I ain't going to church where I got to go every Sunday. You know, it's ridiculous. I said this last week when we were down in Jacksonville, a week or so, maybe more. It doesn't make any sense to me that there's anywhere in the world that there's a church that meets every other Sunday. In 2015, how in the world can there be churches anywhere that meet once a month? Folk love it. I was talking to some of my relatives down in the South there, and they were talking about, we still don't have church but one Sunday a month. I said, and y'all like that? Well, I mean, you know, and this is their reply, several of them. Well, you know, it gives you other things to do on Sunday. That's not what I said. I said, like, well, what else is there to do on Sunday but lift up and magnify the Lord? It's the Lord's day. Every day is his day, really, if you ask me. But, I mean, you mean to tell me you really have such minimal love for God that you okay with going to church? I said, well, what about y'all Bible studies? Oh, we don't do Bible study. Well, how y'all learning? And he looked at me and said, well, what you mean? I said, well, see, Paul was right about y'all. That y'all not be ignorant concerning the things of God. Y'all got businesses and money and this, that, and the other, and y'all have no God. Don't say that, cuz. I said, I wish I could put y'all over my knee one at a time. You know, it's crazy. So he said, be careful of church hoppers. Be careful of those who follow their own desires. And be careful of church folk who don't carry out their ministry. Amen. It's right there in the text. God has given it to you. Let me tell you something. Do not take only material from God and refuse ministry. You cannot walk around talking about God who opens up the windows of heaven and pull you out blessings and you can't do ministry. Because that's selfish. And it's going to be a penalty for that. God, the Bible said, the Old Testament Bible, he said, when your lands have gotten fat, your lands have gotten prosperous, your cattle have gotten fat, your money looking good, don't forget me. God is saying, don't forget to do me. And I have seen it more than my share in life. When people get promotions and jobs and prestige, God gets less. Folk who used to open the door of the church then gave their key to somebody else. Folk who used to meet us here, beat us here, showing up later and later because God has blessed us. Ain't no, now that I got this new job, Pastor, I'm going to have to pull back. I ain't going to be able to open the door. I ain't going to be able to fix this. I ain't going to be able to drive the van. I ain't going to be able to help you no more. I got other responsibilities on my job. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. I've walked away from two careers because I trust God. And my missus will tell you, we didn't always eat like we eat now. We shared a car. I had an old raggedy police car. I bought a 1979 Chrysler Newport. I gave a guy $800 for it so my wife could drive the better car to get to work. We sacrificed. She worked in the kitchen cooking for folk. Because that's the only job she could find presently. We didn't complain to God. We praised God. We praised God for that little country kitchen. What was the name of that place? Country Inn, Country. Shoot, my wife went in there and cooked, and every now and then they gave me some of the stuff while I was waiting on her. So it worked out for me. You know, I mean, but we didn't always ride in the best. We had a nice little house to live in, but we kept trusting God. And we wouldn't take anything that took us away from God. I was offered opportunities, and I said, no, because I need to stay right here. They were going to promote me and send me down to First Sergeant Academy and all that kind of happy stuff. And I said, well, the Lord ain't telling me to take that. Don't think I didn't wait. Now, I waited till the last minute hoping to get a note from God or something. But when the Lord said, go, I didn't negotiate with him. We left unprepared. I left the military unprepared. It got close. It got hard. But I had to do what he called me to do. And Holy Ghost kept telling me, it's going to be hard. Let me tell you something. This is a free one. With promotion comes persecution. If you get promoted and it's easy and you don't have to make no hard decision, that might be the devil there. I'm going to read it to you a little bit later on. I'm just giving you a little coming attractions. We have messed up God's opportunities to use us by waffling out on God because it got hard. Because the world and tricked us into thinking, well, when God give it to you, it's going to be smooth. Mm-mm. Jesus said, they're going to hate you because of me. Jesus said, if you see things happening in the green season, what do you think is going to happen when it gets dry? And see, some of us done been tricked by the devil. Listen, it's right there in the temptation. It's right there in the coming out of the desert. It's right there. The devil is sitting there waiting on Jesus saying, I'm going to make it easier for you. And the Lord is saying, no, sir. He said, I'll give you all of this. Everything will be yours. Jesus said, no, sir. He said, well, jump and they'll catch you. Jesus said, no, sir. See, we want an easy street. And God is saying, no, you got to walk that tough path. Amen. He says, so be careful of those kind of people, but you got to follow out, fulfill the work of the ministry. Let me tell you this now. This is another bonus. Everybody has a great work within, because it would make God unfair to do otherwise. Jasmine is no greater than Elizabeth. They're both great. There's no greater or lesser. He's fair. Everybody has a great work within. And here it is. Everybody with a great work within must understand that the expectation and responsibility is to perform and produce. Can I tell you something? If you're not performing, you're not producing. If you ain't doing nothing, ain't nothing gonna come of it. Amen. That's a struggle point for us. We sit around acting like it's just gonna fall in. Here's the free side. If there is no preparation based on purpose, there is no performance or production. Free preaching. They go together. How are you, if you get them to go to work in the morning, don't you have to prepare? If it's no more than lay your clothes out or brush off your shoes or get your make sure it's gas in the car or the car's in good. Listen, if you got a maintenance issue with your car, how are you going to get to work? You got to fix the car. You can't keep hoping on a wing and a prayer that the brakes going to work. You got to put brake shoes on and check the fluid. It's preparation. No great work happens by chance. We know the Lord came down through 42 generations. It's preparation. John was preparation. John said, I'm just working for him who's coming. And in the body of Christ, you want to know where the next preacher's coming from? Nowhere if we ain't preparing them. The next preacher's got to be in Bible study now. The next preacher's down there with our kids. The next deacons, the next trustees. And if you're going to let your kids lay home and play Nintendo and PlayStation because I don't want to go, if you don't get your little rusty hand parts up, you just ate God's food, wearing God's clothes, you're going to God's house. Grandma, I'm tired. Well, when you get back, instead of turning that game on, just go straight on to bed. But as for me and my house, we going to serve the Lord. And I bet you when they get back home, they'll find energy somewhere. That's why I don't like sleeping kids in church. I don't say nothing about a whole lot, but I bet you won't find them sleep at that console. They'll be at that thing for hours. But then you can't stay woke in God's house. Soon as they get in the car, what me eating at? No, you done slept your eat away. Amen. No performance, no production, no preparation, misunderstood purpose. I've said to y'all before, ask yourself every morning, Lord, why am I here? Why didn't I die last night? Those Marines who went to work a few days ago, they didn't plan to die. The ones who made it out the back door, there's some purpose on them boys' life. They need to refire up that purpose. Every time you see a hearse rolling, you ought to fire up your purpose again. Every time you read an obituary, you ought to fire up your purpose again. Every time you hear brother or sister so-and-so now on the sick list, fire up your purpose again. Why am I still here? Instead of asking, what's in it for me? Well, Pastor, if I go, what I'm going to get? You ain't going to get nothing. Y'all going to pay me? No. That's discipline. Everybody in this room has an expectation and a responsibility to produce something. We're always begging for volunteers, always trying to fill in gaps. People will be clamoring for a position in the church to serve. Not so you can sit up here with me. Ain't nobody sitting around me. Not just you have another title. Pastor, I can do this. Pastor, I got this. on your job, where you all who own businesses, and don't you promote the guy who's always out there and aggressive? You say, look at that guy right there. That's the guy I need right there. You're not going to promote some joker that you always got to go look for him, can't find him. Why would you give somebody a job? Well, I'll work for you if you come pick me up every day. Excuse me? You buy me lunch? No. Mm-mm. I told you before, here's my litmus test for most people that I try to engage with. Whenever I ask people to do something, if their first question to me is, well, how long it's going to take, I don't need you. Because you're already looking for the quit time. Well, if I come, how long I got to be there? Well, no. What you should have asked me is, what do you require of me, sir? Performance, it's important. Now, watch this. Let's go to Philippians 3. And Paul helps us, which is not far from where you are now, Paul helps us to understand how this thing really works. Because discipline also requires a declaration of inadequacies. Pay attention to what I'm saying. You can't think you got it already. You can't think you're already the best of the best. You got to admit that there's still some areas for me to get better in. Now, you know where I'm going. Philippians 3. Come on over there and listen to what Paul says. Starting at verse 12. I don't mean to say that I've got everything. I don't mean to say I've already achieved these things or that I've already reached perfection. But I keep working. Why? I'm working toward the day when I will finally be all that Christ Jesus saved me for and wants me to be. There are two particular principles in there I don't want any one of y'all to miss. One, he saved you for it, and he wants you to be. He didn't save you for you. And there's something he wants from you. What's that song y'all sing? There's more that I require of thee. You sing that so beautifully. I like it when you sing it. It's not your song, but you can sing it. There is more. I love it when she sings it. There is more. Listen, GBC, we cannot spend the rest of our days trying to be a greater Brookville church doing less or being average or being mediocre. We should disdain those words. We should disdain at least. We should, whenever anybody talks to us on our teams or in our ministry and uses that kind of language, we ought to look at them and say, have you bumped your head? Listen to what Paul said. Paul says, I know that I'm not there. He said, but I'm working on it. I'm trying hard because I want to finally. Finally is not today. Finally is not today. If this was finally, he would have cracked the sky this morning. And it wouldn't have took him long neither, because the Bible says they that remain will be caught up. So I said, this is my declaration of independence. If I'm still here, he ain't came yet. I know I ain't getting left. If y'all still see me, the Lord ain't came yet. Amen. If he leave without me, it's going to be trouble. I'm telling you that right now. Listen, he said, now watch this. Pay attention. Paul quickly gives us two things. One, he quickly dispels the ministry of lethargicness. James Cleveland said it well. I don't feel no ways tired. He quickly says, I got a lot to do, but I can't get lazy. Some people in the church do two things and think they ought to be on retirement status. Well, I've been working with the youth for 10 years now. I'm going to sit back. Well, as long as there's more youth, there's more work. I've been on this ministry so long, Pastor, I'm going to try something else. Okay, well, I can go with that one then. But I don't do retirements. You know, well, Pastor, you know, I've been driving the van the last 5 years. I think I'm going to get somebody else a chance. Well, you got anybody you've been training? Anybody been running the routes with you? Who's your trainee? Everybody needs a good trainee. Everybody needs a good flunky. Good flunkies are good to have around. I used to tell my soldier, you know, strong backs, weak minds. I just want somebody who will do whatever I ask them to do without all this rigmarole. Yeah, every sergeant needs a guy like that. Every pastor, can I expose myself here quietly? But people who are listening, don't take that wrong. Can I reveal something? How about that? That sounds better. Can I reveal something to you? I wish I had me five good flunkies, spiritual flunkies. I ain't going to take advantage of them. I wish I had five guys that I can pick up the phone anytime and say, hey, man, okay, Pastor, I got it. I wish I had five guys who just walk up to me any Sunday and say, Pastor, I took care of something. I saw this or that or the other. Or, Pastor, you need me to do this, that, or the other? Five. Every church needs them. So when stuff like this happens, somebody walk in and see this, they'll say, well, I know they're still working, but that don't mean to be here. One of the pastor's flunkies will vacuum that up real quick. One of the pastor's flunkies would have got here early and said, well, let me clear this hallway so nobody trips. That's flunky stuff. Good spiritual flunkies. See, y'all looking at me crazy. I grew up in a church like that. I just told Sister Laura, she's teaching today. I walk around in that classroom right there, and it's junk everywhere. I know I said months ago, clean all these classrooms out. I told Sister Laura, in the church I grew up in, all the pastor had to do was think something. And somebody made it happen. It's junk right there. I said throw away, I don't know how long ago, and it's still in there. And don't make no sense. That's undisciplined church right there. Because the pastor is the head of the house. Pastor shouldn't have to beg for stuff to get done. Shouldn't have to do it himself. My job description does not call for me to be a janitor, a maintenance man, a parking attendant, a garbage deliverer. No, sir. Bible says I should be given time to work on the word. That's all I'm going to do. But I can't. I got to come in to make sure the key box is fixed. That's crazy. I got to change my own batteries. Make any sense to me? I got to pull weeds out the garden? Realign the garbage can? No. There's enough work for all of us to do. Ain't no work beneath nobody in the kingdom. There's no such thing as beneath us when it's kingdom work. If you empty the royal garbage can, you are some kind of somebody. It's the Lord's house. How dare we say we will not neglect the house of God, and neglect is all around us. You might have a gallon to paint home. Come paint something. Say, shoot, I'm going up to the church today. I've been looking at that little stain on the wall. I'm going to fix that. Well, I noticed that when we come up, that light's been out a while. This is the Lord's work. Amen? We might as well start singing Blessed Quietness right along through here. Okay. He said, listen, I dispel the fact that the church is slowing down and quitting. He says right there. He said, no, I got to keep going. Come on down a little further. He said, I got to focus my energies and forget that your feelings been hurt. Forget that you got it wrong last time and focus again. How many of you got your driver's license on your first attempt? Okay. I didn't. But I went back the next day. How many of you have never flunked a test? See? How many have never been wrong? How many? So what did you do? You went back. You said, oh, I got to regroup. Why would you do that in every other thing except the kingdom of God? Everybody's going to get their hand smacked sometime. That's discipline. Everybody's going to have good intentions, but it's not going to turn out. The Bible says what? Your good can be evil spoken of. Oh, you just all up in the pastor's face. Every time I turn around, so what? I love my pastor. Oh, every time I turn around, you up at the church. You just volunteering away. I love my church. Your good can be evil spoken of. You put all your money. As soon as he say come, you jump. My good can be evil spoken of. You be riding them kids around and doing, my good can be. And listen, every time God gives you a principle, please understand that persecution comes with those who perform in principle. That's good preaching right there. That's free. Amen. So he says, please don't slow down. Don't quit. Watch this. Go to Romans chapter 15. How much time I got? I got enough time. Romans 15. Back up a little bit, and you'll be in the book of Romans before you know it. In the same verse, Paul says, I got to focus. I got to make sure I stay on top of this thing because I'm not there yet. My discipline requires that I constantly evaluate myself. Can I give you another free one? Don't wait to get caught before you do better. Don't wait till somebody has said, well, why didn't that happen? And then, well, okay, I guess I'll get. No, beat them to the punch. Don't wait to be identified as deficient before you bring up your game. Just say, you know what, Lord, I know you expect more of me. And don't leave because it's time to go. Leave when you finish. Dr. Dixon, that's why I preach till I get tired. I heard somebody rumble, man, it's 20 minutes after one. I can make it 25 after. You really think it hurts my feeling when folk talking about I preach too long? Do you you got the wrong guy. I figure those who have much to say should say as much as they want to say. If you went to a concert, you wouldn't tell Luther, all right, Luther, that's enough. You wouldn't tell Charlie Wilson, that's enough. I don't turn off the football game if it goes into overtime. I'd rather appreciate it. I like my chicken finger licking good. Listen, we have conditioned ourselves right into foolishness. These one-hour churches are tragic. And I know that it don't take all day to sit in. No, it's just that people listen slow. And Sister Anderson, what I have discovered from my much preaching, I shouldn't probably preach more because all of my preaching ain't changed much around here, so obviously they ain't hearing me. So I should say more. I'll make y'all a deal. Respond more quickly and readily to my preaching, I'll shorten up the preaching. If the amens comes early, the benediction will come early. No. You didn't let me finish. They got to be quality amens. Romans 15, I'm going to hurry along. Watch this now. This is critical. Here's the lesson. This is a true discipleship lesson. Start at verse 1. New Living Translation, we may know that these things make no difference, but we cannot just go ahead and do them to please ourselves. We must be considerate of the doubts and fears of those who think these things are wrong. We should please others. If we do what helps them, we will build them up in the Lord. For even Christ didn't please himself, as the scriptures say. Those who insult you are also insulting me. Such things are written in the scriptures long ago to teach us. They give us hope and encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises. Those are strong words that show us how critical it is for us to be one, disciples with discipline, and understand that our responsibility is far greater than just what we do for ourselves in the kingdom of God. It's what we do before others as the self. Pay attention to this. Now, watch this. He says, first of all, now I want you to go back a little bit because this is critical. If you look at chapter 14, which is part of what sets up what he's saying in chapter 15, he's talking about this food thing, this what people eat and what people drink. And so now he says to them, again, verse 15, chapter 15, verse 1, he says, listen, we need to know that these things make no difference. So go back and look at chapter 14, because you can't read the Bible and skip all over the place because you missed stuff. What he's saying is, okay, the food issue, the drink issue, those things are really not the issue. So we need to make sure they're minimized, because we can't just hate folk for silly stuff. Or we can't fall out over silly stuff. My aunt used to say teeth and tongue fall out sometime too. Well, it's one thing if your teeth fall out. If your tongue fall out, you're done. You can get more teeth. They don't sew in new tongues. I told her that and she got mad. The truth of this is what? Now watch what he's saying. He tells us that we who know the difference, or we who are strong in the King James Version or New Living Translation, that's the critical thing. You cannot get strong without discipline. It takes discipline to get strong. One of the problems with the church and its impotency is there's too much infancy and impotency. I'm preaching good. We got too many babies who are weak trying to act like they're grown and have no power. And so we got babies trying to tell other folk how to do stuff that babies themselves don't have the power to do. Too much infancy and the impotency. You want to come in and join the church one Sunday and teach Sunday school the next. You want to come in and say the Lord called you to preach and you don't even come to Bible study. You want an assignment without alignment or authority. But my authority calls alignment before assignment. That's why I said what I said last Sunday, Deacon Anderson, and some folk looked at me funny, but some folk finna lose their title around here because you are out of alignment. You ain't doing the assignment, and so now authority must say no alignment, no assignment. God lets us do do-overs. How do you know that, Pastor? He looks beyond our faults to meet our need. And then he looks at us and said, I'll give you this day and all that you need in this day. No carryovers. We don't need to be carrying nothing over. We got enough weight. So he said, please understand, watch this now. We who are strong, how do we get stronger? Development, discipline, discipleship, duty. Okay? If we can't train you, we can't let you do anything. How many of you know how to fire a handgun? How'd you learn how to fire it? Somebody taught you. How many of you picked up a gun and just started shooting? No, that's crazy. Oh, Jesus. Why did... Yeah. You got to learn how to do things in order to be proficient. So I would say to you, if there's anything that you... Now, some of us like to say we're self-taught. You know, we like to say we learn how to do things like that. But really, you watch somebody. You saw it somewhere. Very few of us are self-taught. Now, you know, I say that a lot of time about driving because nobody ever really put me behind the wheel. One day my granddad left the keys in his Chevrolet Apache, and I turned the key, and it hit the tree because back then they didn't have safety switches in cars, and it was in gear. And so if you turn the key, it's going, and it hit the tree. And then I realized there's something ain't right. And then I remember he always pushed that thing down and go, his clutch always needed to lube his spring. I said, oh, so my cousin said, hey, push that thing right over there. And so I pushed that, and then we hit the key again. We didn't go nowhere. And I'm like, okay, I think we got something here. And we kept messing around with the thing. You know, we were jerking all over the place and bumping into stuff. My granddad was asleep. He didn't know. And I learned how to drive. But it was because I saw what he was doing. And so the reality for us in the body of Christ, I'll ask this same question again. Where are our next preachers coming from if they don't see us preaching or teaching or doing the work of ministry? Nobody's really going to just by osmosis, just poof, and oh, there they are. We got to train people. And so he said, listen, we who are strong, why? Because we went through the rigors of discipline. We went through the rigors of devotion. And we did what development required. We slowly brought you along. And so he says, we who are strong, we who understand. Then he says this. The second part of it is, go back in chapter 14 very quickly, and I want to show you something. In chapter 14, right? You ain't got to turn no pages, I pray. It slides your little finger on your little thing there. Watch what he says in chapter 14, verse 13. The second principle of discipleship development is that we got to be considerate of other people. It's right here in the text. He said, listen, do not condemn each other anymore. We got to be considerate, y'all. Everybody ain't where you think you are. And you ain't where you think you are either. You're really not so wonderful all the time. Right here in the text, he said, listen, don't condemn each other anymore. Here's the key. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not put an obstacle in another Christian's path. I feel the spirit of I'm sorry, brother, coming on. We got to be considerate of other people. And we need to do all we can not to make folk fall. When our brothers, the Bible says, what the Bible says? The Bible says this, Pastor, tell us what it says. It says, if your brother or sister is caught in a fault, if something happens, you who are stronger, you who know something, you who have been tested and proven, help them. Don't call no meeting to get rid of people. We ain't got enough people to get rid of. Reverend, I think I'll let you know. I saw Brother So-and-so coming out the liquor store. What'd he have with him? Hennessy, Grey Goose. How you know all that? You got that close? Well, he was in line in front of me. I don't care. Reverend, I just want you to know, Brother So-and-so got arrested down in Appomattox. He ain't saying that, but he got arrested. Did you bail him out? No. Well, if you knew all that, you should have helped him. People got faults. Some of us are trying all we can to hide our faults. That's why we're trying to hide them. We don't want to be. Can I tell you something? Nobody wants to lose. And see, tolerant. We all ought to be tolerant. It's right in the Bible. It's a biblical principle. Watch what he says. Don't condemn each other. And if you want to dress it up, I feel somebody's spirit now getting all crooked. Let me help you. He hates sin, but he loves the sinner. He still loves you. He didn't kill you last night, did he? When you rose this morning, you didn't have no doubt. Why would you want to be a judge? He said, don't do it anymore. We don't need to be pointing fingers at each other. We need to be lifting each other up. Now, we need to have discipline, which is what I'm teaching now. So if in fact, Sister So-and-so has an issue that you know about, help her strengthen herself. Help her develop discipline. Help her. God bless, Sister Jess, we all know by now, I guess, but her story is one of great admirability. It is admirable to know that the Lord did it. He didn't kill her. Yeah, she lost some things along the way. She lost her job, lost some money, but her sister stuck with her. And I wasn't even a pastor. I was brought in as her sister's pastor. And I said, well, whatever we can do. And then one or two more came along. Because she didn't need condemnation. She needed love. We didn't say keep on smoking and joking and dipping and tipping. We said, listen, we'll help you get stronger. Amen. And so we don't need to condemn each other. And watch what he says. Those of us who are in this condition, those of us who have this ability, must be considerate. When people come and expose stuff to you, that ain't no reason for you to pick up no phone and tweet and Facebook and put nothing out there. Sometimes you just need to learn how to minister with your mouth closed. Ain't nobody asked you to tell us nothing. Bone bearers. Always bringing the bone. I don't want to hear that from you. I'm telling you now, you want to get disqualified from pastor's inner circle of good friends? Keep ratting on people. I don't like rats. I don't like squealers. I don't like tail bearers. I don't care what you know about other people. If it ain't going to build them up, you keep your mouth shut. Amen. He said, it's right here in the Bible. So this ain't no constitutional cry. This is the word of God. And we need to read the word of God as written. Watch what he says. Come down to verse 19. I'm going to help you, and it's time for y'all to go. Come down to verse 19. He says, so then, let's aim for harmony in the church. Since Sister Walker is here, let me throw my little joke. Not aim for Sister Harmony. We don't want to get after her. But let's aim. Watch what he says, and watch what's going to happen when we do that. He said, and try to build each other up. That's biblical. Let's not be. So what if he had the drinking? Pastor, I don't know if you know, but Deacon David.
ice to go around?
I don't care who drink. I don't care who smokes cigars. I don't, listen, whatever. Listen, here's what I will tell you. If you're not fighting with it, then I can't help you fight. If you enjoy it, then and we'll go back and look at what he says earlier. What a man eat or drink. Notice Paul does not say liquor or moonshine or Kool-Aid. If that's what you want to eat or drink, and I'll read it to you in a minute. If that person thinks it's okay, so be it. Paul says it does not disqualify them from the love of God. But he does tell us, don't be a drunk. Yes, sir.
I got a little problem with that. That's what my mom
thought. No. We'll talk later. We won't go public like that. We'll talk. Notice what he says. He said, now here it is. Stay with me. He says, even if one person, verse 5, come to verse 5. In the same way, some may think one day is more holier than the other, while others think every day is alike. Each person should have a personal conviction. But that doesn't make us enemies. I ain't got nothing against Seventh-day Adventists. Nothing. I don't have anything. Listen, here's what I did. Here's where we agree. Jesus is Lord. Check. Crucified, dead, and buried. Check. Got up on the third day. Check. If we can go down them biblical principles, I don't care what day you go to church. I don't care what y'all wear when y'all go to church. I don't care who your bishop, pastor, prelate. None of that matters. Let's disagree on this. If we can agree on this from cover to cover, we cool. Now, if you want to bring in a crawfish, we got to do a little talking. But I'm telling you now, I'm not looking for anything but agreement. I am not trying to find a way not to love you. So if you want to eat whatever you eat, if you want to do whatever you want to do and got discipline, I can see you. If you do what you do and you have no discipline, me and you are going to have a problem. That's biblical. I don't know where we came up with all these disqualifying rules that if a man do this or a man do that, if a woman do that, she can't serve. That's why we done ran out of servants. We so busy trying to disqualify people over stuff that we think make us so much holier. If you don't drink, that don't make you no holier than me. If you don't eat this or if you don't believe in that day, that doesn't make you no super saint. Amen. Am I telling you to change your whole lifestyle to be what somebody else is? No, because Paul tells them that. He said, don't do that. Watch what he says. He said, now, come down, watch this. Verse 15, if another Christian is distressed by what you eat, you're not acting in love if you eat it. In other words, he said, don't sit in front of them and just tick them off. Let them leave it and say, well, I'll take care of them. Watch this. Come on further. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. You know what he's saying? The Lord died for everybody and all of it. So let's don't tear the church apart over food or drink. He shouldn't be a deacon because he drank. Pastor, I went to Brother Tyler's house. He had Hennessy and Courvoisier and all that up there. I was just disappointed. Why? He didn't offer you none? No, I just don't think a man, if he'd administer music, he shouldn't drink. Give me a verse. What do you mean, Pastor? Give me a verse. Because before we shoot you, we need bullets in the gun. That's free right there. Before we shoot, we got to put bullets. Ain't no ammunition in that kind of book. My daddy always said that if a man going to serve the Lord, he got to be pure. Did your daddy read Romans 3 and 23 that said all have sinned? Your daddy got a new church now. That's where Papa got a brand new bag come from, huh? No. He said, look, I'm trying to help y'all. We are not going to grow this church looking for perfect people. And we can't keep weeding folk out because there's weeds everywhere. But we need discipline. We got to get better, but let's do it biblically. I'm going to tell you something right now, beloved God. Can I borrow a little more of y'all time to help you a little more? He says, the aim is for harmony in the church. and building one another up. Watch verse 21, and I'll release y'all because I know you're tired. He said, don't eat meat or drink wine or do something else if it might cause another Christian to stumble. What is he saying there? Okay, here's what he's saying. You're going to have a party at your house. You want to invite all the saints. You're going to invite the deacons. And you're going to, then if you know or suspect or have an inkling that somebody in that crowd might have a problem with you having a setup, don't do the setup. Or don't invite them. If you know that by doing a thing, anything in the body of Christ is going to cause another brother to stumble, don't do it. Especially around them. And if they get offended because you didn't invite them, tell them, say, listen, brother, in consideration that you have a problem with alcohol, or in consideration that I know you're very, you know, strict about disciplines of this kind, I didn't want to offend you. Because the rest of us were going to have some beer at the Super Bowl party. Or we were going to eat pig feet. And I know you don't like pig feet. You think swine is an atrocity from the Lord. But we believe from the rooter to the tooter, God be praised. You know, so we didn't want to offend you. That's biblical. Can I tell you something? Your righteousness don't make it right. Only his righteousness makes it right. You don't need to be imposing all these rules that you know you ain't going to keep. Can I tell you something? If you got to sneak a drink in your own house, you a fool. If you come to my house, I ain't moving nothing but my car because I don't want you to bump into it. You feel like you got to sneak through my house to see where my stuff is? Just ask me. I'll tell you. Because it's my house. And God ain't shot me in the face one time for nothing. And he ain't shot you neither. If God were going to kill y'all for y'all sins, it wouldn't be a body in here alive. So stop all that crazy stuff. If you eat what you eat, you drink what you drink, or you do what you do, have discipline. So when people come to your house, you ain't got to go, just a minute. I'm coming. Oh, yeah, I'm telling you, no. That's stupid. Then you got to go and get all that stuff. You done broke something. I'm trying to help y'all. Watch what he says. Can I borrow a little more of your time? He says, listen, don't do it if it's going to cause another believer to stumble. Watch this. Romans 15. Here it is again. What we must be doing is building people up to make them strong in the Lord. Okay? Watch verse 2. We should please others if we do what helps them, we will build them up in the Lord. That's what we should be doing. What does that mean, Pastor? That means you can't be picking and choosing relationships in the church. We ought to be trying to build up everybody. It's right there in the text. I just read it. Can I read it from your Bible in case somebody think I wrote my own? It's right here. Verse 2 says the same thing here. That we should help others to do what is right and build them up in the Lord. Again, your righteousness ain't righteousness. Well, I don't think people should do this. I don't think people should wear that. I don't think they should go here. I don't think they should. Let me tell you something. I've been to Las Vegas. I've been to Atlantic City. I've been around the world. Some of y'all ain't never left Lynchburg. I've been in all kinds of places. I've seen Christians everywhere. And they look like they're having a good time. God is not going to send us to hell because we go play a slot machine. God is not going to beat us down because we like the blackjack table. Or go on a cruise. Or we sit at the captain's table and there's a glass of wine. What are we doing here? We just said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Then let's go enjoy it. But let's not do things to hurt each other. Let's build each other up. And if what we're doing is unbefitting to another, then let's not do that for a time. And then let's help our brothers and sisters. If, in fact, Brother Tyler has a drinking problem, he done got 2 or 3 DUIs, when he pulls out a bottle of beer, we ought to say, now, hold on, bro. You know you don't need that. And if he does, then say, you give me your keys because you won't be driving from my house tonight. Or if he eating and got high blood pressure, he don't need no swine. He ain't got no business eating chitlins, pig feet, and ham hocks. Brother Tyler, now you know your blood pressure is off the chart. We made a little special diet for you over here. Lettuce and tomatoes. For Thanksgiving? Yes. That's from the horn of plenty. I mean, you know, you got to do what you got to do to help each other. Amen? Amen. And so he tells us, and just let me borrow one more time. The Christian way is simply this. Blessed are those that don't feel guilty for doing something that they've decided is right. Pastor, what do you see? It's right. It's just a derivative of that which is in the body here. It says we should help others and build them up in the Lord, for even Christ didn't please himself, as the scriptures say. What all I'm telling you is, if you've got a constitution within yourself and you can do what you feel is pleasing in the sight of God, not your self-righteousness, but his righteousness, bless you. But you don't need to be sneaking around hiding your lifestyle, thinking that we're going to find you so pure and holy that we're going to promote you. You've got to be real. If you're struggling with a thing, we can help you if you identify the struggle. But if you're living a lie, you're not only lying to you, you're lying to the Lord. You know Ananias and Sapphira, you know, they lied to God about the thing. What? The money. All they had to do was come back and say, listen, we sold our property and we ain't getting y'all nothing. They probably would have been alive today. Well, probably not today. But when the man of God asked them concerning that item, now notice, he didn't condemn them for anything else. He said, listen, you sold a parcel of land. How'd that thing go? Oh, not too well. Boom. All they had to do was say, well, we got a good profit off of it, but we decided we ain't going to give it to the church. They could have went on home. But they lied. They couldn't justify their own justification. That's why we're going to get in trouble. A lot of us come up here and lie to God every Sunday. And God's going to look at you and hold you accountable. All you got to do is be honest. Blessed is the person who can do what they think is right and have the constitution to stand up on it. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm just like the Lord with that woman. I have no condemnation for you. You come in my office crying and falling out about a sin, I'm going to sit there with you. And when you finish crying and falling out, I'm going to say, now, what do you want to do? Because I'm not here to condemn you. Pastor, please don't take me off the boat. We ain't got no boat. I got a boat up here. I can hit you with it if you keep that up. But I mean, I'm not trying to find a reason to get rid of nobody. I'm going to tell you like my sergeant used to tell me. If you get fired, you fired yourself. Listen, Paul told you in the Philippian letter, ain't no quitting in the ministry. He said, I'm not there yet, so I got to keep working. Do better. I told you a few weeks ago, I got to do better. That's the lifestyle we ought to be living. He said, listen, every one of us must understand that we're not there yet. But there are two principles we want to do, for which he saved me and what he wants me to do. And every one of you got purpose. Amen. No purpose, no power. And I know you like power. Amen. All right, we're going to pause right there. Did I help you a little bit? I sure enjoyed trying to help you. All right. God, we thank you so much tonight for our young people. Thank you for our youth advisors and those persons who provided transportation and those persons who thought it not robbery to stand in tonight for those who could not be with us. Thank you, Lord, tonight for these who gathered with us. What a good crowd we have tonight. And we pray, God, that the church will grow tremendously in the coming weeks so we can all come up together. Thank you, Lord, for forgiving us for yesterday's and giving us this new day. Thank you, God, again, for reminding us that we have a purpose and there is much work to be done while we yet have the light of day. Thank you, God, for our listeners or via the mediums that we have available. Thank you, Lord, for those who check Facebook and podcast and YouTube. Thank you, God, and we pray, God, that they will sow into our ministries as we keep sowing into their lives. We pray, God, for the opportunity to tell the dying world about the risen Christ. And, God, if you don't mind, give us a little time to brag on Brookville so that we can build up a great house to your glory. God, we thank you for the workers who are working tirelessly to get our air conditioning system back online. We thank you, Lord, for those who thought it not robbery to give a little better in the offering on Sunday, Lord. We thank you for that and pray, God, that others would join with us in that effort. We thank you, Lord, for day 3 of 55. God, we thank you for every person that's got their $15 setting off to the side, looking forward now, Lord, to day 4. And God, we pray that with each passing day, we will remember that the voluntary gift that we give is a sacrifice unto the Lord. For Lord, you gave the greatest sacrifice, John reminds us, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. So God, if you can give your son, we can do sacrifice. Thank you for these. Thank you for others. Thank you for those who wanted to be here but could not be here. Thank you, Lord, tonight for those who've been thinking about it and are just about convinced. Lord, we bless your name. Now, God.